This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Great. Let's just agree in prayer briefly. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to study your word. We thank you, Lord, that God, that Bible school is a tool just to study the Word, Lord, to break it open, to draw nearer to you, Lord, to grow in our revelation of who you are, to grow in our faith, to become more like Christ, Lord. We pray for Bible school this year, Lord. We pray for your blessing on every person that will join, Lord. Every person, even now, that's making decisions or thinking about it. We pray for those that have been invited and will still be invited. We pray for those, Lord, that will be saved this year in Bible school, those that will come to salvation. We pray for those that will be healed in Bible school this year, physical healing, those that will be delivered, Lord. We pray for those that will receive healing emotionally, Lord. We pray for those that will experience your breakthrough in so many areas, Lord. We pray for marriages that will be restored through the Word, through Bible school. We thank you, Lord, that we can entrust and commit this year's Bible school to you and to your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts, Lord, whether we should be there, whether we should join, Lord, and stir our hearts with a hunger for your word, Lord, a hunger to know you, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, even that we can consecrate this time right now this morning to you, Lord. Let your kingdom come in us and through us, Lord. Have your way in us and through us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks so much to the band as well. You guys are such a blessing. Is it okay if I stand at the bottom? Some people like it if we stand at the top, but we're not that many this morning, so I'll be all right, I think. It's a blessing to minister the word this morning. Just get all my notes. I've got lots of notes this morning. I hope you're not in a rush. Anyway, so this week, the last couple of months, we realized my son David, he's 4. Did I tell you, he's so into Lego now. You know, so he's so keen on Lego, and he's just telling me every day what set we should buy for him. I'm like, dude, this stuff is so expensive, you know. We've snuck in a couple. Just go one left button there. There we go. Anyway, so we snuck in a couple of these fake Legos as well, sets. Some of them are actually really good. Some of them are really rubbish. But he didn't notice. We just snuck them in the side there. But so what happens these days is he's quite sharp. He notices things. So he'll notice a crane. He will notice. When you know, the other day we were at mom's and he checked the bucky. So we looked under the bucky to try and figure out how the stuff works. And he noticed the spare wheel and everything. And what I've noticed now, what he does is when he sees something interesting, like the other day I showed him an aircraft hangar, or he sees a specific type of aircraft. The next thing that I've come to expect now is the next thing he sees is, Dad, can we build it? Can we build one at home? When we get home, can we build one of those? You know, I'm like, oh. So my Lego building skills are being stretched to the limit. And I'm careful of answering all his questions these days about how stuff works, because I know the next thing will be, can we build one? You know, can we build one? Anyway, so that's been interesting, and I'm really being stretched to my faith in terms of building Legos. But what a blessing. This morning we're going to chat about fasting. You can go back one again. And Phil referred to this last week, Pastor Philip. And I don't have a lot of time, and this seems to be such a lot to cover. So I'm really going to try and touch on the most important things. Now, when we mention something like fasting, it's almost like the E word. You know, it's it's almost like it's not a very popular thing normally. It's the E word is evangelism, right? It's almost like that. You know, it's when you talk about it, people, when you say you want volunteers for that or for fasting, you know, people just disappear. But if we look at Scripture, it's all over Scripture. If we look at the lives of believers in Scripture, it's all over. But if you look at how many sermons we hear about fasting these days, or how many millions of views you'll see on the teaching on fasting on YouTube, nope, not that many millions, maybe five, you know. So it's not very popular thing, it's not the thing everybody's running after, but I believe it's a key. And if you've ever been stuck behind a locked door and the key's broken or something is wrong or you don't have the key, that frustration of wanting to be on the other side or wanting to get out or whatever, maybe you're locked in. I was locked out of a house the other day. And I managed to get in. I managed to make my way inside. But there was a lot of frustration there. But I believe this is a key. This is a key for us as believers that we are not fully grasping, that we are not fully taking hold of. So I trust this morning is going to be an encouragement to us. And, you know, we fast corporately. Normally we do it once a month. I think that counts as radical. That's rough, you know, once a month. But when we look at Scripture, it's average. It's just the way things should work. So we do that corporately, but individually, are we in a habit? Are we in a habit or in a discipline of fasting? And if you look at Jesus talking about basic disciplines, he talks about prayer, right? But I think as Christians, this morning agree that it will not be a surprise to anybody here this morning that prayer is a basic discipline for a believer. Can I have your agreement on that one? Okay, that's good. There's at least five that believe in prayer. That's wonderful. But so prayer, we know that. So, okay, we know that we need to pray. We know we need to have communication with God. But let's see, because Jesus puts it right there next to prayer. Let's look at this first one here in Matthew chapter 6. So he's talking about a few basic things. He says, watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly to it, be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. And then he starts, he says, when you give, so he starts with giving, standard, basic discipline of a believer. When you give to someone in need, give your gifts in private, verse 4, and your Father who sees everything will reward you, some say publicly, some translations. And then we skip to verse 5, it says, when you pray. And it says how not to pray. And it says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So he says, when you give, he doesn't say if. And you see the difference there. Okay? He's not expecting anything else. He says, this is just a basic thing. When you give, when you pray. But then he goes on to the challenging one and says, when you fast. He says, not if you should decide or one day, or year, or he says, when you do this, this is just as giving and prayer, basic discipline. When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I'll tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting, except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. And then New King James speaks about what he sees in private will be rewarded in public. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. So he connects it just a little bit later. He connects it with a lifestyle of focusing on that which is eternal. And he connects it here with storing up treasures in heaven. Now, there's a whole bunch of different reasons why we fast. There's a whole bunch of different fasts that we see in Scripture. But I want to start here. This is a basic discipline. It's not a radical thing. It's not an unusual thing. According to the Scripture, this is when we do it. Okay, are you with me? So there was a place in the Gospels where the Pharisees accused Jesus and says, "But why aren't your disciples fasting?" And then he said to them, I think it was a day of fasting or something, and he said to them, you know, the friends of the bridegroom don't fast while they're with the bridegroom, but when he's gone, then they will fast. So he also said, listen, they're going to fast. It's no question about that. They're going to be fasting, all right? Part of our lives, part of a lifestyle of a disciplined believer. Now, we see it all over Scripture. Some of the famous ones are Job. Lots of prayer and fasting happening there. Okay, he was in a very, very tough spot. And we see massive change, massive breakthrough there. Moses fasted. We see it in the life of David a lot. Praying, fasting. We see it in the life of Elijah. He sort of fasted 40 days at one point. Saw massive breakthrough. Got direction from the Lord. Got instruction from God. Okay, I want to go through a lot of these details a bit later again. But you see, in Joseph's life, Joseph, not necessarily by choice, but when he ended up in prison, apparently the scholars say those days in prison, your family would bring you food. But now his family was in a different country, so it seems to me that Joseph was fasting a lot. All right, so he was fasting a lot. And then we see it in the life of Paul. At one stage, specifically mentioned 14 days. Esther, we know that specific fast, which she called the nation to fast with her as well. Daniel's famous, he's got a fast named after him. Hey, isn't that amazing? We're going to talk about that in a moment, because that's not a biblical thing that this is a Daniel fast A to Z, right? Let's not get legalistic around that. So there's different ways we approach fasting. We do it corporately. As we're doing this month, we are setting time aside to pray and fast. We are fasting every Wednesday this month. And then the last Wednesday of the month, which is the 28th, we will fast Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if I have it correct. So we do this corporately. The once or twice a year, a shofar, we fast and pray together. And there's a real power in the corporate prayer. There's a multiplication of power and of breakthrough and of just God's will being done. Doing it as an individual, just as important. Getting into a habit of fasting as an individual. There's a massive load of different ways people fast. You know, people talk about water fast. It doesn't mean you don't drink water. It means you only drink water. All right? So that's what's also seen sometimes as a complete fast. Although I have heard of people that go even beyond that and don't even drink water. All right, so that also happens. And I think Jesus probably went on one like that. But so there's a water fast. There's what's referred to as a Daniel fast, which is basically just a partial fast when you specifically say, okay, I'm going to abstain from these nice things, nice food. Nice stuff to eat, stuff that I like, right? In his case, that he actually says, I abstain from choice meats, breads, stuff like that. So he basically just ate fruit and vegetables and drank water. So that's the basic Daniel fast. But let's not get legalistic about what is that or what it isn't. It's basically a partial fast, all right? So what often people refer to say, I'm fasting from Grey's Anatomy, okay? Now that's very blessed, and it's good to. I'm not gymming this month. I'm leaving that. Some have been fasting from gymming for exercise for years. It's really tough. But I understand the sentiment. So often we refer to us setting aside stuff that takes our time, and stuff that we really like doing. Setting that aside, and I think it's very healthy to do that, but that's not technically not a fast. Okay, fasting is specifically to do with food. So yes, put that stuff aside. Yes, consecration. Yes, getting rid of bad habits like watching series all the time. This is good, right? But technically, it's not a fast. And okay, so another, just quickly, one or two things that fasting is not. Fasting is not a diet. Okay. There is some very great physical side benefits to fasting. In fact, medical science has proven that fasting is incredibly healthy. People have done lots of research. I read some stats that I can't remember now that it's just crazy about how people have fasted like 3 weeks, 40 days, 50 days, even as at age of 50, 60, 70, have gone on to live for 90, until they're 90 or 100. So there's some really great physical benefits in terms of your metabolism and getting rid of toxins and all of that stuff. But yes, that's great. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's weight loss benefits as well. As we can see with Judah, he's definitely lost some weight. But so yes, there are physical benefits, but we don't do it. That's not the motive. Okay? We don't fast to lose weight. In fact, if you are fasting and you are not spending a lot of time in prayer and in the Word, then you're just starving yourself. Then I'm hoping I'm not disappointing anybody this morning. Then I believe you might not be wasting your time completely if you need to lose weight, but you're not engaging with God. And so we miss the point. So if you do agree, you know, want to join us in a fast, or you feel too fast, or you want to get into a discipline of fasting, make sure that there's a lot of prayer and a lot of scripture, and a lot of time in prayer and scripture and in the Word while you are fasting. Are you with me this morning? And otherwise, just starving yourself. And very importantly, what it's not is we do not fast to win God's approval. We do not fast to improve our standing with God. I can understand how that can easily, people can easily think like that, specifically coming from a religious type of background. Fasting is not to improve my standing with God. Fasting is not to win merit or favor with God. Fasting is not to get rid of my sin. Amen? The only thing that changes our standing with God and that gets rid of our sin is the blood of Jesus. Amen? So fasting cannot do that. And that's not why we fast. So the blood of Christ brings us into right standing with God. The blood of Jesus rids us of our sin as we receive Him as Savior, but fasting does not do that. Amen. We agreed on that. So that's not what fasting is for. What fasting does do, and this is interesting, if we look right from the beginning of Scripture, we see this dynamic that the flesh, the desires of the flesh, get us into trouble. I don't know if that's true in your life, but it has been in my life. There's issues. If we allow the flesh, if we allow our bodies to dictate our lives, it's going to end up in chaos and problems. All right? Let's quickly look at Philippians chapter 3 as a quick illustration. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. Some scripture says their God is their belly. They brag about shameful things, and they think about only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. So there's that dynamic of us not sowing to the flesh, but sowing into the Spirit, not pursuing the king stomach, right? I read this book, Jensen Franklin wrote this book about fasting, which I can really recommend. And he speaks about this thing that we worship, this king, our stomach. And it's basically the flesh, the body, that craves things and wants things and cries out for things. So we see this when Adam and Eve succumbed to this temptation to disobey God by the fruit. Okay, then we see it in Esau's life. He sells his birthright and his inheritance because he's hungry. All right, so this is a problem, guys. This is a human condition. And I want to throw this out to you. What breakthroughs and what blessings and what promises are we missing because we are bound by that carnal desire? Okay? What are we missing? What are we missing from the fullness of God because we are not fasting regularly? Okay. Okay. So part of the whole thing that when we fast is we immerse ourselves in the Scripture. We immerse ourselves in prayer in the presence of God. We seek His face. And we take the time that we would spend to prepare food and to eat food, the time that we would spend to prepare drinks and have them. Actually, that would be an interesting calculation. If you would take a week. Some of us have like 5 cups of tea at the office or coffee or, you know, and then we prepare lunch and we have lunch and we prepare supper, whatever, you prepare meals. Some of us don't do that anymore. We buy prepared stuff. That you save some time there. It's very spiritual. But if you would do that calculation, I think that would be interesting to see how much time do we spend preparing food and drink and consuming it. Because the point of a fast is to use that time to additionally to your normal devotions, to focus on God, to pray, to spend time in the Scripture, to seek His face. Are you with me? Okay. I'm gonna go through a list of 7 things that Jensen Franklin mentions in his book, 7 reasons why we fast. So I have to go quite quickly. But at the core of all of these is that fasting does not twist God's arm, but it aligns us with His will. It changes, doesn't change God as much as it changes us. It doesn't, and that whole dynamic of God having chosen, which something still boggles my mind, having chosen to use the prayers of people and the lives of people to see His will done on earth. That's what He's chosen to do. He's chosen to use our lives and our prayers and our interaction with Him to see His will done on the earth. And when we make that connection, we realize, okay, that means that when I'm fasting, it doesn't change God, it doesn't change His will, but it aligns me with His will. It aligns me and my prayers and my life, and it puts me in the best possible position for breakthrough. Fasting puts me and you in the best possible position to see the will of God come in our lives. Isn't that amazing? So it's more of an alignment on our side and a changing on our side that it accomplishes. And it you know, if we put aside the work, the flesh and the desires of the flesh, what we're doing is we're choosing to live by faith. Saying, okay, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the word of God. And we are choosing to say, okay, I live by faith and not by sight. I want to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I'm positioning myself to, if I want to live by faith, I have to believe God, right? So there's a whole connection between saying, okay, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. I'm putting aside the flesh. I'm pursuing living by faith. I want to believe God. To do that, I must know His will. So I'm pursuing the Scripture, I'm studying the Scripture to know His will, I'm consecrating myself, and I'm living by faith in the Spirit. I mean, are you with me? Covering a lot of stuff here very briefly. Just a quick example. We were doing that mission years ago. This is my first mission, so I refer to it a lot. Is that one where we did a tour around the borders of the country. We cycled around the borders of South Africa to intercede, right, to pray. So it was basically cycling an average of 150 kilometers a day, and then you stop during the day and pray in that area, break bread, you know, have communion, blow the shofar, proclaim God's word, and just intercede for the area. And although we did not fast from food, okay, but I want to illustrate the principle here, is because of the physical demands of what we were doing on our bodies, it was similar to a fast. And the first year specifically, there was some miscommunication with the food team, and they were saving a lot of money by not buying us a lot of food. So we were basically doing a partial fast as well, which the leader of the team only found out afterwards. He was very upset about that. But so we were doing a partial fast while cycling 5,000 kilometers around the country. But what I experienced is every day from 4 in the morning, getting up, getting back in the saddle, and Bram can testify of that. And I don't know if there's anybody else here that's done it, but you die to the flesh. Because after day 5 or so, or maybe for some day 1, it's not fun anymore. It's not something, it's not comfortable. Not comfortable. So every morning you die to the flesh, you say, Lord, today I'm going to get on that bicycle. I cannot do this on my own strength. I need you, Jesus. And it declutters. This is what fasting does. It declutters everything, all the noise out of our lives. It gets rid of the stuff that's not important. And it helps us to focus on what is really important. And I can testify to you that times of fasting, times on that bicycle, and when we fast and we consecrate ourselves like that, we hear God's voice so much clearer. We are able to, we become so much more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that's why I believe our intercession on that trip was so powerful, is because our bodies were so weak. And we were so sensitive to hear the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you with me? Okay, so let's have a look at these 7 things, and we need to almost finish. Right. I'm not going to mention a lot of examples. I'm just going to throw one or two in as we go. Okay. Number one, in a time of crisis, okay, it's not a bad idea to fast. We see this in the life of Esther. They uncover a plot that somebody wants to kill all the Jews. That is a crisis. Okay. She calls them to a time of fasting. She says, fast for me, because I'm going to be interceding on our behalf with the king. There's a massive crisis, and they fast. And God brings massive breakthrough. Amen. The life of Paul, he gets born again. He gets slapped off his horse by Jesus, and he gets saved. And now the people that he was persecuting Christians with, you know, he was one of the guys killing Christians. Now those guys were wanting to kill him. So his life was in serious danger, massive crisis. He fasts, and the Lord delivers him, right? Just after he gets born again. So that's a good time to fast. We do often do this, you know, maybe there's been an accident, or maybe there's a crisis in somebody's life. We say, guys, let's put some time aside to fast. Amen. Let's see God about this thing. And very importantly, when we are fasting, don't make it too vague. Don't just throw it up in the air and say, I'm just hoping for the best. Maybe this fast will be a blessing. Maybe I'll lose some weight. Make it specific. Make it specific. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you for ABC. I'm trusting you. And when we consecrate ourselves as a body at the beginning of the year, we do it in consecration. We do it in seeking Him about the year. We're seeking direction, etc. Okay, but make it specific. All right? So, crisis. Number 2, vision. That's partly what we're doing at the beginning of the year. We're asking God, Lord, show us what you've prepared for us. Even with Daniel, actually, let's read from Daniel chapter 10. This is partly why he was fasting. I think we're going, yeah, that one. Did we miss something here? Oh yeah, we missed one. Okay, we'll get back to that one. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning, and a lot of times in Scripture, you'll see them interchangeably using mourning and fasting, okay? Referring to the same thing. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he set time aside. He read in the Scripture about the prophecy, a promise of God. He sought clear understanding of it. He had understanding, and partly, I believe, why he was still praying is to pray that into being, right? And so the second reason why we fast is for God to direct us, for vision, for clarity, and also for strategy. How are we going to make it happen? Well, I've got a vision for my family. I'm seeking God. I'm fasting for Him to give me direction for my family, a vision for my company, for my studies, for my race. I'm trusting God to show me what He's prepared and also how to go about it. And we see very powerfully in this example, we see that if we continue to read, please go continue the reading at home, that an angel responds. And this happens a lot of times in Scripture when people are fasting. An angel responds. Even when there's an unbeliever that was fasting, Cornelius, an angel comes to him. Isn't that great? He's an unbeliever. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a relationship with Christ. But he's got an incredibly disciplined lifestyle. He prays and he fasts to such a point that God says, let's just sort this guy out. Because he's been amazing. Look at his, and he sends an angel. And he says, listen, call this guy Peter. He's going to go and preach the word. And then the whole family gets powerfully born again. I distracted myself now. So we see later an angel responds to Daniel's prayer. But he says to him, when he reaches him, he says, the moment you started praying, I was dispatched. In other words, the response to his prayer, the answer to his prayer was released immediately. But because of the spiritual battle we find ourselves in, this angel had to war. It speaks about the prince of Persia. He was a principality. Excuse me. It's a principality, forces of darkness that were opposing him and were slowing down the answer to Daniel's prayer. Isn't that an interesting dynamic there? And Daniel had to persist in prayer and fasting. And what happened is then another angel was dispatched. One of the chief guys, Michael, was dispatched to. And then they won the spiritual battle that was happening. And then the angel arrived. And he said to him, listen, sorry it's taken 3 weeks. But there was this battle. But I left immediately. Isn't that powerful? The response was immediate. But he had to persist for 3 weeks. How often do we just shoot up a prayer and we're like, nothing's happening. The Lord doesn't hear my prayer. He does. So let's persist in that. Let's persist in prayer and fasting what God lays in our hearts. Right, so number 3, we fast for self-examination and consecration. Often in Scripture we see this in the day of in the form of one day fast being called. A nation would be called to fasting a day to consecrate themselves to the Lord. Self-examination, saying, okay, where am I at? Where am I at in my walk with God? This is really healthy. And this is a good habit to do monthly or weekly. Set a day aside for consecration and for self-examination. Then, number 4, before a major step forward. So in biblical times, we often see this in battle situations. We see guys getting clear instructions from the Lord, but still fasting. So, and there was one example specifically with the tribe of Benjamin. They went into war and they got annihilated. They got badly beaten. But they were confused because they did hear from God. And then only after they prayed and fasted when they won the victory. So if God has shown you something, this is the new direction for your family, or this is the new direction for your company, or you know, there's a change coming, or there's a massive step forward, or there's a battle coming, there's a fast. Consecrate to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm giving this battle into your hands. I'm trusting you to fight on our behalf. I'm trusting you for my company in this new season. I'm trusting you for breakthrough in my family or for this new season that we're going into. Are you with me? Okay, so there's a massive step forward. Maybe if you're deciding if you're going to marry somebody, so that's a big step forward, right? That's something to fast about. Amen? Yes, okay, maybe we'll get more amens this evening. There's more unmarried guys. No, just joking. But that's massive, guys. That's one of the biggest decisions of our lives. Are we gonna fast? Are we gonna set time aside to seek God about that? I want to say, if you got a massive job offer, crazy salary, amazing career opportunity, don't just grab it. Fast. Set time aside. Don't just run through every open door. Amen. God's not the only one opening doors, right? Fast. Let's inquire of God. Okay. Number five, when we intercede for somebody, this can be at various reasons. That can be somebody that is born again, that knows the right thing to do, but isn't doing it, and that they're in danger of bringing the judgment of God upon themselves. Fast to intercede for them. In the case of Ahab, that was the case. The prophet came and said to him, listen, this is what's going to happen. The dogs are going to lick up your blood down here. And there was a serious prophecy type of thing. And then he humbled himself, and the Lord says, okay, I will lift the judgment. Similarly, if you're interceding on behalf of somebody else or interceding for somebody's salvation, fast. Amen. If you're trusting for somebody to be saved, have you fasted? Have you put time aside to fast? Okay, we need to close. Right. Often when we go on mission trips, this is a very important part of what we do. Preparing for an outreach, fasting, trusting God for salvations. And I believe part of the reason why there's incredible grace upon our missions program all over Shofar. Incredible, incredible grace, incredible favor. I believe a big part of it is because every single day, every member of the mission team has at least one person, if not more, fasting and praying for them. So if it's a team of 20, then there will be 20 people fasting for that team every day. And I connect those very directly. Many times we speak to churches that have sent people to far-flung places like India and the East, and they speak of fatalities. They speak of people dying on the mission field. We have had not one serious accident. We have had not one fatality, not one. Yes, we've had people ill, but there's incredible grace. And I believe a big part of that is that because we are fasting and praying, not only in our preparation, but on the actual mission, we're fasting and praying. Okay. Are you excited about fasting yet? Hallelujah. We're getting there. All right. Okay. We trust God when we trust God for miracles of healing. We fast. Isaiah 58, if you go read the whole chapter, it deals with this. And the phrase that is used there is that your healing will spring forth speedily. Talking about fasting and standing in faith for a miracle of healing of sorts. Okay. And again, on mission trips, we see crazy miracles of healing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we should fast more often when we're not on missions. I mean, see crazy miracles, see crazy salvations when we're on missions. But because lots of people are fasting every day. Okay. And then finally, Jesus fasted for 40 days at the start of his ministry. You see that powerful dynamic where he gets baptized. God, you know, opens the heavens and said, the Father says, this is my beloved Son. and whom I'm well pleased, and he's going to launch into his ministry, you know, with this incredible affirmation. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. But the first thing that happens is he goes into the wilderness to fast 40 days. And in that wilderness, he gets tempted. There's a battle in the spirit. And he fasts and he contends with the enemy to take back. I believe that's where the process started of taking back the dominion that was taken when Adam gave dominion to Satan. So Jesus was taking back that. He was contending, taking back dominion, taking back authority that was given to the devil. And it's a similar thing in our lives, guys. Are you and I in a position where we have to take back dominion? Are you and I in a position where you have to take back authority? Maybe stuff has been chaos in your marriage, maybe in your finances, maybe at your workplace, or maybe there's stuff happening with your children, maybe there's sickness all over your family. Maybe there's a place where you and I have to take back authority that God has given us. Sometimes we lay it down. Sometimes we don't walk in it. When we fast, we know part of the one of the reasons we fast is to say, Lord, I want to take back your authority and your victory and your dominion in this area. Amen. So maybe in your small group, maybe there hasn't been many salvations, or maybe there haven't been many people joining, or I don't know, maybe you're trusting for salvations in your area, at the school that your children are at. I don't know where God is putting you, but are you prepared to set some time aside to fast and pray for that? Okay, one example that I missed was in a previous scripture, which I'm not going to read now, but it's in 2 Chronicles, where King Jehoshaphat, he sets a time aside to fast. He recognizes that the enemy is basically on their doorstep. They're going to be annihilated. He says, guys, let's call a fast. He gets the whole nation to fast. They seek the face of God. God gives them crazy instructions, crazy stuff. He says, listen, don't fight. Put the worship team in the front. Crazy stuff. But the Lord delivers them absolutely supernaturally. They don't even have to lift one weapon. Because they seek God's face, they inquire of the Lord, they fast, the whole nation fasts, and God delivers them powerfully. Are you with me? All right. Let's close. There's a very important dynamic to fasting, is that there's a couple of times in Scripture where it refers to saying, fasting unto God. Ministering unto the Lord in fasting. So when we fast, there's a powerful dynamic of saying it's not only about me. Yes, I've maybe got a focus and I've got a faith goal why I'm fasting. I'm trusting God for something, but there's a big dynamic of me ministering to God in my fasting. Setting time aside to seek Him. Setting time aside to pursue Him as a person. Powerful dynamic. Experiencing His presence, digging into His Word, ministering to God. Okay? Okay, I want to just close with two scriptures and we're going to be done. So in Galatians chapter 6, there's, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Guys, when we are fasting regularly, when we are putting our body and our flesh in its place, we are sowing to the Spirit. And we will reap. Amen. And I can give you an absolute guarantee today. I don't do this often. It's risky. But I can give you 100% guarantee that if you fast with Scripture and prayer, you will every time grow closer to God. Every single time. If Yeah, let's not put two provisos. But if you do a biblical fast by faith and you, with scripture and prayer, I believe that you will, you and I will grow closer to God every single time. Every single time. Amen. Sowing to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. And then finally, you know the scripture in Joel chapter 2 that we love to quote? It's amazing scripture. It's an amazing promise. God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And young men will do this and old men will do that. And it's dreams and visions. And this is powerful, powerful prophecy. And we all go, yeah, we want that thing. And then, but we don't read what comes before that. Before that is a whole long story. And I just want to read a little bit of it. Before that, there's a fast being consecrated. And a part of the promise that comes, oh, that will happen after the fast, is that the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. He says in verse 12 here, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. And then it goes on. It speaks of all the blessings that are going to come after this time of turning back to God. And then he gets to that point of saying, I will pour out my Spirit. Isn't that a desire that we have in our hearts, that God will again pour out His Spirit? I'm challenged to fast more for my children, because I want to see the Spirit of God, the power of God in their lives. Amen. I'm challenged to fast more for those in my small group and those that we minister to. You know, are we trusting God for this promise? And I'm asking myself, what blessings have I already missed out on? And what breakthroughs have come harder or maybe haven't come at all because I wasn't willing to just set time aside? I believe this morning God is stirring our hearts and He's calling us back and He's giving us a key. Not only to know Him, but to be aligned with His will and His power in our lives. I mean, let's stand this morning. There's a powerful account where Jesus, where the disciples, he gives the disciples authority over demons, right? And they go out and they minister to people, and people get powerfully ministered to, people get delivered from demons and healed. And they come back and they're so excited and they're so encouraged, you know. They say, yes, you won't believe what happened. It's like the guys coming back from missions. You won't believe it. This guy rose from the dead. That guy got leg grew back. That guy got healed. But then they said, but there was this one guy that we couldn't get this demon to go. He wouldn't listen to us. And then Jesus says, some only go by prayer and fasting. He says, there's another dynamic. There's another step. There's, yes, they've experienced the power of God. Yes, they've experienced the healings. They've experienced miracles. But he says, some, you need to put in that little bit extra. Some only go by prayer and fasting. And this is Jesus speaking. Guys, I just want to throw out a question. If the Son of God had to fast to fulfill His ministry on the earth, do you think it's a good reason for us to fast? If the Son of God Himself had set aside time to fast, if you look at Scripture, how many times He went up to the mountain to pray at night, I say, I need to make some changes in my own life. Amen. There's a power, and there's a dynamic of breakthrough that I believe God wants to release in our lives. A place of connecting with Him on a level that we have not known before. A place of understanding and having a revelation of His will and seeing His power at work in us as that will of God comes to pass in and through our lives. I believe there's a key that we need to take hold of this morning. Let's pray. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your example. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you did not only send a letter or a fax or a WhatsApp or a voice note, but you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. You demonstrated your love for each soul on the planet has ever lived and it will ever live. You've demonstrated your love for us by giving your Son. And thank you, Lord, not only as our offering, not only as the substitute for our sin, not only as the one that would take our sin upon himself, but as an example, as the one that would reunite us with the Father, as the one that would reconcile us to himself. We thank you, God. And this morning, Lord, our Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are stirring our hearts. Say, what is it? Are we just making it? Are we even experiencing your blessings? But Lord, I pray that you'd stir in our heart this morning a desire, Lord, to know that fullness of life that Jesus talks about. It says, I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance, more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for the key that you are showing us this morning, Lord. Thank you for the key of fasting, of godly, biblical fasting. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would stir that desire in us, Lord. Not to be coerced, not to be forced, but a desire in each one of us this morning to draw near to you. Deliberately. Lord, not only when you speak to us and you say fast, but just as a gesture, just as a habit from our side, that weekly saying, Lord, I want to know you more, so I'm going to set a day aside, a week to draw near to you, or I'm going to set aside 3 weeks because I want to know you, not because I've heard an audible voice, but because I want to, Lord. I have a desire to seek you. Father, so we pray that you would stir this in us this morning. Lord, we declare that we do not live by bread alone, God, but by every word that comes from your mouth. We declare, Lord, that in our weakness you are strong. Your strength and your power is made perfect in our weakness. So this morning I trust, Lord, that you would stir in our hearts to be able to humble ourselves, to be able to make ourselves vulnerable by fasting, by setting time aside, so that your kingdom can come in our lives, Lord. So that your glory will be manifested in our lives, Lord. So that your name will be glorified in and through our lives, God. In Jesus' name. Father, deliver us from any lies or misconception. Deliver us from this fleshly desires and carnal desires, this God that is at our belly that often we worship. Deliver us, Lord. Lord, give us the grace to walk in the Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.